open to Revelation chapter 17. I know I have the bulletin of 7 to 18, but as I look at the clock, that is never going to happen. Thank you, Juan. So let's do this. Let's go to chapter 17. And we left off at verse 7. And I think we probably could get down to verse 13, okay? And we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the sermon. Remember, John was caught away in the Spirit, and he is now confronted by an angel. And the angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel?" Remember back in verse 6, when he saw all of this about Babylon the Great, the harlot, and abominations of the earth, that John said, "When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." That word bothered me. So I spent some time doing some word studies this week, and I don't know why the King James translators used the word admiration, because the Greek word doesn't mean that at all, okay? The Greek word conveys the idea of wonder or marvel. But I think they didn't want to be redundant, because John says, "I wondered with great wonder." That's pretty much the way it's translated. And note that the angel even confirms that, because the angel uses the word what? Marvel. "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore did thou marvel?" And again, the Greek word there conveys the idea of wonder or marvel, or to be amazed. When we think admiration, we think, you know, in the area that we are admiring. And I don't want you to get the idea that John is admiring this harlot and abominations of the earth, because he's not. We go on to read, and the angel says to John, and be mindful that we don't have a right of private interpretation. This is an angel of the Lord giving us the interpretation. "I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns." Amen. We don't have any confusion that way. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no powers yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Father, oh, we ask the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Thank you for the insights you've given me. Help me be a help to thy people to understand and to know that what we are studying, what we are reading, even though it is in the future, it applies to your church. But we're going to come back, and we're going to see in these future chapters what plans you have for us. But in the meantime, may we be moved to what's going to happen to those left behind. May it motivate your church to be busy about evangelism, to taking these last hours and reaching the lost, lest they be left behind. We thank you. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I was telling my wife as I was in my office studying this over and over, that chapter 17 and chapter 18 of the book of Revelation are probably two of the most difficult chapters in all of the Bible. Probably as difficult as Daniel chapter 9. One of the things when I was studying that I appreciated is that the angel of the Lord said something that helped me to relax. If you go back in verse 9, and the angel says, "And here is the mind which has wisdom." And certainly it wasn't my mind. But actually what the angel is saying, if this can be understood, understand. And Dr. MacArthur in his commentary says, this is not for all of us to understand. This is for those in the tribulation. They will have a greater knowledge than we do. We can speculate, but we have to be careful about speculation. So I want to stay true to what the angel is saying is the proper interpretation. And at the point of verse 9, he is telling John that this is to be interpreted in light of what the future holds. So we're not going to be here. Amen? We're going to be in heaven. What are we going to be doing? We're going to be given our marching orders because we're coming back. And we are going to be administrators for 1,000 years in the kingdom of God. That will be exciting to you. We are not going to be here through this horrible 7 years. The time of Jacob's troubles. And Jacob is a reference to Israel, the 12 tribes of that nation. In Revelation 17, we learn that the world is headed toward a one-world church or a one-world religion. All the diverse and various ideologies are going to come together into one. It goes back to Babylon and the Tower of Babel. Remember, they attempted to do that. And God dispersed them through the confusion of languages. That's why I got the name Babel. This one world religion will coexist temporarily with the global world government controlled by the beast or the Antichrist. Now, one of the things I'm going to do here today is help you understand that this beast is a reference over and over to the Antichrist. He is the son of perdition, and I'm going to prove that to you. This one world church is already underway. Just as Satan is working very, very progressively and rapidly to bring about a one world economy and a world government, he is also working and has been for I think over 30 years to bring about one world church. Just look at our own country. The United States is still considered the greatest country in the world, but we are quickly going into decline. And the more they keep our southern border open, which is by design, by the way, remember, this is all about a battle between good and evil. There can't be a great United States that can stand alone, otherwise we're not going to be part and parcel of this 10-league confederation of these 10 kings. So they've got to break us. And that's what's going on, folks, I hate to tell you. But that's what's really happening. And the more of these people they bring in, not that I'm against helping immigrants, I'm a son of a grandfather who was an immigrant. But certainly, what's happening is ruining the economy of various states. And I think eventually, if we don't do something about it, it will break the United States. We had mayors that went to Washington this week begging for money because there's no way they can afford this. And so we see that the Satan is very busy about bringing a one world economy, a one world government, and he's very, very busy bringing about a one world religion, and he's been doing that through the ecumenical movement for years now. Go back 60, 70 years ago, There wasn't this ecumenical movement that we're seeing today. Churches merging together and worshiping together and worshiping false gods. That's why 35 years ago we voted to get out of the American Baptist Association. Why? Because they were associated with the World Council of Churches. Go look and see who their partners are. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians through the Apostle Paul, come out from amongst them. Get out! They're not worshiping the Lord Jesus. Worshiping false gods. This article appeared in the Catholic Review, and it was written over 20 years ago. And we're almost to the point of the objective of this article. Listen carefully. I quote, "The unity of religion promoted by the pontiff and approved by His Holiness the Dalai Lama is not a goal to be achieved immediately, but a day will come," note how they couch it, "when the love and the compassion which both Buddha and Christ preach so eloquently will unite the world in a common effort to save humanity from the senseless destruction and leading toward the light in which all believe," unquote. And we have seen over the last 20 years a movement of ecumenicalism. Very few churches left that are outside. Basically now you're independents that refuse to be part and parcel of this conglomerate. Do you know that the Dalai Lama is considered God by most Tibetan Buddhists? And yet they're telling us, we ought to all come together because we all worship the same God. No, we don't. And to do so is being disobedient. Remember what the apostles said to, I believe it was Herod, it's better that we serve God than man. I stress again to you the point and the objective of last week's message, that the force that will unite the world during the tribulation will be a religious force, a satanic deception on a global proportion. Karl Marx said, religion is the opiate of the people. And guess what? Satan's going to use it to his advantage. So we left off at verse 7. This is the introduction to an angelic explanation. We don't have that often, but we do have that in the Bible from time to time. The angel said to me, John, why do you marvel or wonder? Again, if you just take the time to look up the word that's used in the Koine Greek, you'll find it's not admiration. There is no admiration by the Apostle John for this harlot of nations. He's wondering, what is this about? And he doesn't understand. And so the angel comes along and begins to say to him, wherefore didst thou marvel or wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which had the seven heads and the ten horns. It always amazes me. I read commentaries and hear debate about who these are. There is no debate. God says who it is, and that settles it. Let's look at the angelic description. We won't get all of this done, but let's begin at least. The angel makes reference to the beast that was and is not and yet is. And this can get very confusing. It sounds crazy. Most Bible scholars refer to this as the Antichrist's fake death and resurrection. Remember I said to you a long time ago that when Satan is cast out of heaven, he begins to incorporate a theology much like that of Christ. We call it the phony or false trinity, right? He has to do that. That's why he's called the Antichrist. But what he does is he imitates, counterfeits the true Christ. And that's what's being explained here. One of the things that Scripture teaches is that the Messiah would die, Isaiah 53, right? And that he would take upon himself the iniquity of us all, that he would be put to death, but he would rise again. And so guess what? Satan's got to prove to the world, and especially to the Jews, that he's the Messiah. So this is the fake resurrection. And that's what it means. The angel is explaining when he says that he was and is not. Okay? He was, meaning present, he exists, and then he is not, he dies, and then he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Let's all stop there. When you hear the word perdition, you know it ain't good. Okay? You know, if the Bible says that this character comes from the bottomless pit, you do not want to be associated in any way with this character. Now, take your Bible, keep your finger there, and I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians. Now, let's see what the Bible says about this individual, because it's in the New Testament. It's in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. In fact, if you have a Bible that has headings, it says the man of perdition or the son of perdition. Let's start at verse 3. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And folks, I believe we're there. I've talked to other pastors. I've talked to directors of church associations. And they're all saying the same thing. The churches are in decline. Now, there are exceptions, and praise the Lord for that. There are exceptions where the church is strong in certain areas. And many times, these churches are mega churches. But praise the Lord that they are. But for the most part, there's a falling away. And when that happens, what does it say? Follow closely. And that man of sin be revealed, or shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? Now, watch what the son of perdition does, because we're there in Revelation. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God? Well, who was that that did that? Let me see. His name was Lucifer. Isn't that what he did in heaven and started a revolt against Almighty God? And one third of God's created angels aligned themselves with Lucifer. He's not finished. He's going to come here to earth. He opposes and exalteth himself on earth above all that is called God or that is worship. Why? He is the one that wants worship. So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. Many believe that at that point he'll be indwelled demonically or even by Satan. Now, I don't know. I do know that at least he'll be possessed demonically, but empowered by Satan. He is doing what he planned to do in the very beginning. To be the God of this world. He is the God of this age, but he is not the one and true God. He wants to put himself in the temple. It says the temple of God. It's talking about the literal temple. So there will be a third temple erected in Jerusalem, where Jewish people will once again go to worship. But he will desecrate that temple. We know that. Daniel said when this happens, it is known as the abomination of desolation. It happened once before when Antigonus Epiphanes, the Greek emperor, went into the temple of God and slayed a pig, a swine, on the altar of God. He desecrated that temple. And they could not use that temple until it was completely cleansed. And the Bible talks about the ritual they needed to do so, the red heifer, the ashes, and all of the rituals that go with it. And so you need to understand that Revelation is talking about this evil, wicked person that we identify as the Antichrist. And the Bible says in Revelation 17, in verse 8, the beast that thou sawest, again, he's going to pull off this phony resurrection and go into perdition. I just showed you what that perdition is. And when he does that, it says, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So it's telling me at this time, the people left on the earth are not Christian. Their names are not written in the book of life. They were given an opportunity to be saved. We had a whole chapter, we called it the last call, and it was ignored. And then the vile judgments came. None repented. They shook their fist at God. And the Bible says that when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, this phony resurrection is going to cause people to worship the beast. Chapter 17 and chapter 13, if you remember chapter 13, both talk about this supposed resurrection. And I say it that way because it's not a true resurrection. When Christ died, he was buried and put in a tomb for 3 days. And they did the 3 days for a purpose. Because under the Jewish law, you were absolutely dead after 3 days. But this will be a phony resurrection. And both chapter 17 and 13 talk about this. Chapter 13 tells us that it amazes the whole world and the whole world begins to worship the Antichrist. And at that point, that'll be about 3.5 years into the tribulation, he don't need the mother of harlots anymore. So he's going to kill her. Say, really? Yeah, well, we're going to get to that in the end of the chapter. Talks about the destruction of religious Babylon. We know what the Bible says, that he, this comes up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit. At this point in time, the man will literally, as I said a few minutes ago, is going to be empowered by demonic forces. He'll conquer the world by his power, and certainly he'll be energized in some way by the devil himself. Remember, he's going to be here, not here literally now, but he will be. And the Lord God permits this ecumenical church to develop to the point that the entire world will be under its influence. Remember I said last week, the driving force will be religion. And the devil is just like that. He'll use anything he can to get his way. And once he gets this, we'll call it the false prophet, because that's another name given, this harlot and abomination of the earth to work in his favor, when he don't need her anymore, he tells the whole world, I am the Messiah, you must worship me. And they will. This angel speaks, applying a very, very unusual phrase. We don't see it hardly anywhere. In verse 9, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, here is the mind which has wisdom. And it's confusing. It is a call for spiritual discernment. It is an invitation to a very close inspection of the truth, and it introduces a very difficult aspect of this vision. And you really, really have to do your homework and study to understand what's happening here. And it implies that those that are living at this time will understand. Time has eluded us. So what I want to do is leave off at verse 9 and come back to that as the angel begins to explain the seven heads and the seven mountains. We're going to have to do a little word study on the word mountain from the original language so we get a proper understanding of what really is being talked about here. And Lord willing, we'll do that next time. So I'm going to mark where I left off, and we'll pick it up at verse 9. But let's bow our heads and let's ask the Lord to give us wisdom. Father, we recognize that even as your children, there are some things in the Scriptures that you have for another generation. And we pray for the believers in the tribulation that they'll have a greater understanding and an awareness of this Antichrist and his evil deeds that he will perpetrate as the son of perdition. And for us that are here today, may we apply it to our lives. That we as your children would stay away from all appearances of evil. That we would be children of the Most High God, honoring you and following your word to the very best of our abilities. Oh God, bless us now. Help us to be right in your sight as we confess our sin and recognize that communion is a time for us to reflect on your forgiveness through the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, our Savior. So bless this time now in Jesus' name, amen. And I ask God, ushers and deacons if they'll prepare the table so we can have communion together.